It's October 7th, 2022. Yeah, I thought it. For a moment, I thought it didn't start. It's October 7th, 2022. Ward Green here. I was looking at the live streaming, I guess, and I'm not streaming. I'm just recording. So this is a very beautiful program, and I'm still learning how to use this program, which is OBS Studio. Beautiful, incredible, powerful program. Today we have two longer chapters, longer than yesterday, children. Psalm 7 and Ecclesiastes 7 for October 7. And we get the most benefit from the Bible rather than from our other discussions, but I do want to talk about some other things a little bit, at least. I'm thinking about cameras right now. I'm researching cameras because I'm trying to find out. I really wish I'd purchased the Blackmagic camera when it was on sale in the summer. They come on sale in the summer, and now I realize that was $600, whether it was U.S. or Canadian. It doesn't even matter because they cost $2,000, $3,000, and they go on sale at about half price, but I think the normal price used to be $1,200 or something because it was on sale in U.S., maybe $1,200 U.S., yeah. $1,200 U.S. is on sale for $600 U.S. Maybe that was what it was. But because it was on sale, I could have saved a fortune if I bought it right then. But I guess I never regret things like that because that's given me more time to research other options with cameras. I didn't know anything about cinema cameras. That's a cinema camera, which is for recording video, and that's specifically for video. I don't really have any interest in shooting still shots. You know, I don't really have any interest at all in still photography anymore. I used to when I bought my Minolta X700, but I think I'm completely disinterested in still photography now. I mean, completely, not against it. It's just that, I just think it's completely obsolete. You know, I'm not against other people using it. I just think it's, there's another thought that just came to my mind I want to talk about. Whenever I say that I'm against something, I think the tendency is people then think, well, anything else that's not that, they have a license to then assume that I'm gung-ho in favor of that. Or that, you know, they are abusing what I'm saying. If I say I don't like this or I'm against this, or this is bad, then everything else becomes something that people can really jump on and they can assume that they're safe. But that's not true. Just because I don't like one thing doesn't mean I like all the other things. That's something to keep in mind. I may not like the other things either. Or they, like, for example, if I say it's bad for your health to eat sugar, processed sugar, then people might say, well, that means it's okay for me to eat all these other things. And they overeat, you know, or something, because I didn't mention the fact that they should also not eat overly much, you know. So, I mean, people make, they take meanings that aren't there. From what I say, they derive meaning that isn't implied, but they assume that it was implied because they're desperately trying to find out what they should do with their lives, I guess. They're desperately wanting to know what they should do, which is understandable, you know, I mean, but I can't go telling everybody do this. If everybody did the same thing, that wouldn't work. We all have to have different free will, and we're all going to make different choices that are going to benefit us and the people around us. We have to be free, but we have to make different choices, surely. So I can't be saying you should all do this or you should do that. That's just senseless stuff. In my mind, that's pointless. Even though people can say, well, that's like unity. It's like, you know, we're not a chorus line where we all dance in complete sync. I mean, if life is like that, we're like robots, then there's no point in having free will. There's no point in living. If we're robots, we might as well just build some robots and then all die and forget about, you know, free will. But since we have free will, we need to figure out how to exercise free will. So before you decide what you're going to do, if you know that if you agree with me that something is bad, before you decide what is good, take some time, take a lot of time to research or to think about it and research before you decide what you think you should do. Don't just rush into it. That's my understanding there. But there's some things you have to do immediately, right? There's some things we need to do for survival. Those things you have to think about those every single day. But the other things, you don't have to jump into them. You don't have to be hasty. In fact, it's bad to be hasty, right? Haste makes waste. Okay, there's an interesting concept in Ecclesiastes 7, I believe it is. But in Psalm 7 is the one I'm thinking of, where it says that, well, we're going to get to it at the end of Psalm 7. So, little children, let's pray for Jehovah's guidance. Jehovah, guide us, help us. Help us to relax our minds a little bit, that we might allow the wise information from your word to enter into our minds and hearts, that we might benefit and retain it. In Jesus' name, amen. A dirge of David that he sang to Jehovah concerning the words of Cush the Benjaminite. O Jehovah my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from all those persecuting me, and deliver me, that no one may tear my soul to pieces as a lion does, snatching me away when there is no deliverer. O Jehovah my God, if I have done this, if there exists any injustice in my hands, if I have repaid the one rewarding me with what is bad, or if I have despoiled anyone showing hostility to me without success, let an enemy pursue my soul, and let him overtake and trample my life down to the very earth, and cause my own glory to reside in the dust itself. Selah. Do arise, O Jehovah, in your anger. Lift yourself up at the outbursts of fury of those showing hostility to me, and do awake for me, since you have given command for judgment itself, and let the very assembly of national groups surround you, and against it do you return on high. Jehovah himself will pass sentence on the peoples. Judge me, O Jehovah, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity in me. Please, may the badness of wicked ones come to an end, and may you establish the righteous one. And God is righteous. God, as righteous, is testing out heart and kidneys. The shield for me is upon God, a savior of those upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, and God is hurling denunciations every day. If anyone will not return, his sword he will sharpen, his bow he will certainly bend, and he will make it ready for shooting. And for himself he must prepare the instruments of death. His arrows he will make flaming ones. Look, there is one that is pregnant with what is hurtful, and he has conceived trouble and is bound to give birth to falsehood. A pit he has excavated, and he proceeded to dig it. But he will fall into the hole that he went making. His trouble will return upon his own head, and upon the crown of his head his own violence will descend. I shall laud Jehovah according to his righteousness, and I will make melody to the name of Jehovah the Most High. So I had a couple of problems in reading that, mainly in this part. God, as righteous, is testing out heart and kidneys. The shield for me is upon God, a savior of those upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, and God is hurling denunciations every day. But the idea that I wanted to get to, that I thought was something worth remembering, that I remember from this psalm, is the wicked one, or the one pregnant with what is hurtful, a pit he has excavated, but he will fall into the hole that he went making. His trouble will return upon his own head. That's a fascinating idea, one that we're not always blessed with knowing. We don't always remember that the wicked ones are very likely to fall into their own traps. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. A name is better than good oil in the day of death than the day of one's being born. Better is it to go to the house of mourning than to go to the banquet house, because that is the end of all mankind, and the one alive should take it to his heart. Better is vexation than laughter, for by the crossness of the face the heart becomes better. The heart of the wise ones is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the stupid ones is in the house of rejoicing. Better is it to hear the rebuke of someone wise than to be the man hearing the song of the stupid ones. For as the sound of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of the stupid one. And this too is vanity. For mere oppression may make a wise one act crazy, and a gift can destroy the heart. Better is the end afterward of a matter than its beginning. Better is one who is patient than one who is haughty in spirit. Do not hurry yourself in your spirit to become offended, for the taking of offense is what rests in the bosom of the stupid ones. Do not say, why has it happened that the former days proved to be better than these? For it is not due to wisdom that you have asked about this. Wisdom, along with an inheritance, is good and is advantageous for those seeing the sun. For wisdom is for a protection, the same as money is for a protection. But the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom itself preserves alive its owners. See the work of the true God. For who is able to make straight what he has made crooked? On a good day, prove yourself to be in goodness. And on a calamitous day, see that the true God has made even this exactly as that, to the intent that mankind may not discover anything at all after them. Everything I have seen during my vain days, there exists the righteous one perishing in his righteousness, and there exists the wicked one continuing along in his badness. Do not become righteous overmuch, nor show yourself excessively wise. Why should you cause desolation to yourself? Do not be wicked overmuch, nor become foolish. Why should you die when it is not your time? It is better that you should take hold of the one, but from the other also do not withdraw your hand. For he that fears God will go forth with them all. Wisdom itself is stronger for the wise one than 10 men in power who happen to be in a city. For there is no man righteous in the earth that keeps doing good and does not sin. Also, do not give your heart to all the words that people may speak, that you may not hear your servant calling down evil upon you. For your own heart well knows, even many times, that you, even you, have called down evil upon others. All this I have tested with wisdom. I said, I will become wise, but it was far from me. What has come to be is far off and exceedingly deep. Who can find it out? I myself turned around, even my heart did, to know and to explore and to search for wisdom and the reason of things, and to know about the wickedness of stupidity and the foolishness of madness. And I was finding out, more bitter than death, I found the woman who is herself nets for hunting, and whose heart is dragnets, and whose hands are fetters. One is good before the true God if one escapes from her, but one is sinning if one is captured by her. See, this I have found, said the congregator, one thing taken after another to find out the sum up, which my soul has continuously sought, but I have not found. One man out of 1,000 I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. See, this only I have found, that the true God made mankind upright, but they themselves have sought out many plans. That's the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. So, now if I make my window large for my face, it's going to make the file bigger. So I learned that in the past few videos. It's probably better for me not to do that. But to keep my video window, small, is probably better. So the camera situation, I'm researching SLRs like some of the Sony and the Canon and even Pentax and other brands that I can find who make digital SLRs. The problem with a lot of these cameras is they're limited to, some of them are not, but they're it's rare when they're not limited to the video length of video, the length of clip that you can shoot video at one time. So if you're limited to half an hour, that's not a very good, or even more, even if it's more than half an hour, whatever the limit is, it's not a cinema camera, because cinema cameras shouldn't be limited, and you should be able to shoot an unlimited length of clip. There should be no limit. Now, some of these cameras are limited only in some ways and not in others, too. Some of them are limited only for 4K at certain frame rates. So, I mean, you know, and then they're limited in terms of how long a clip you can shoot with that camera. But I don't want a camera that has a limitation in that way. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not sure why I feel this way either, but I don't like the idea of being limited in terms of how much video I can shoot in one clip. And the reason partly is because I don't believe in editing anymore. I believe in shooting live. I believe in videoing everything live. I can't understand why editing is so important. It just offers the opportunity of faking everything when you edit things. Live, there's no faking. You are real, you know. It's real. It's live. So, I mean, if I'm going to perform a song, if I can't perform it live, then I'm not interested. But that's just how I feel now, right? I mean, I used to do multi-track recording, but if I ever get into that again, it's the problem with multi-track recording is, where do you draw the line with the editing? Like, I mean, I'm not saying you can't do it. Of course you can, but if you do it, how do you know when to stop? And you could spend thousands of hours on one song, but if there's no one to stop you and say you're done, stop, then that's the problem. That's the problem. I'm alone here. If I start, I won't know when to stop. And I might stop too soon. I might not stop soon enough. But if I am, I mean, in terms of all the overdubbing and all the editing and, you know, signal processing that I might do after the post-production that I might do with audio or video, it's the same thing. If I shoot live, there's no temptation to do post-pro. So it's a very big, important matter, a big deal, I believe, to not get into editing. Because you can edit everything out. You can edit everything out, and you can make everything look like it's completely different than what it really is. So I have no interest in editing for that reason. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I've learned something more about eating. What did I learn? I learned something. What was I eating the other day? Well, it's just, I don't know if I'm losing weight. That's one thing. I thought I was losing weight based on how I looked in the mirror. That was one thought I had. I'm eating less. I think that's what it was. Yeah. I'm eating smaller portions, or I'm eating not as many portions per day. That's one thing I noticed. I think that might change over time as because now I'm withdrawing from sugar. I might not have completed the withdrawal from sugar, processed sugar. I've got this great big pineapple, which is great because it was a good price and same price as all the smaller ones, but it was a giant pineapple, very ripe, beautiful, but it's not going to keep forever. I have to eat it fairly fast. That means I have to eat that sugar that's in natural sugar in the pineapple. You know, I have to eat that natural sugar faster than I want to. I don't know what to do about that. Maybe I can cook it or something and stop the fermentation process. I'm not sure what to do with it. I don't want to cook it. It's too good raw. So I'm eating that, but I can only cut, if I cut a very thin slice, it's such a big pineapple that I get a very full bowl full of pineapple and yogurt to eat afterwards. I can't it's a big portion. I'd rather have a smaller portion, maybe. But I mean, I think I definitely would rather have less sugar in my diet. But I'm naturally not needing as much fruit sugar now either. Now that I'm not eating processed sugar, it has a big effect. I also noticed that eating the dairy that has lactose, which is a sugar, all dairy has this lactose, unless it's been removed and it's lactose free, which is very, it's not the normal way of buying it or consuming it. But lactose that's normally in there is sugar. That lactose also stimulates, it spikes the blood sugar and makes you want to eat more. So dairy makes you want to eat more, makes you hungry. That's another thing I've been learning. So it's not just the processed sugar that makes you hungry. It's, you know, it's too much dairy can do that too. Lactose in the dairy. Any sugar. And I looked up malitol, which is the sugar, another sugar that's found in fruit. It's not got it doesn't have the beneficial properties that xylitol and erythritol have, from what I can tell. It's a far more dangerous toxic or artificial. It's far more harmful in terms of how it could harm you. They're all considered artificial sweeteners, but they're not really, because they all come from natural food as well. But that's considered artificial if they're extracted from food. But malitol is not a good sugar, from what I can tell, from my research that I've done so far. So I wouldn't recommend malitol as a replacement for sugar. I know, it spikes the blood sugar. That's what it is. It spikes the blood sugar a lot more than, apparently, it's not that much better than sugar. Whereas xylitol is much better than sugar at not spiking, because xylitol doesn't spike the blood sugar. Whereas erythritol is the best. Like, it doesn't spike the blood sugar at all. So the substitute for sugar should be xylitol or erythritol. But xylitol has benefits for oral health, which erythritol has even more benefits for oral health. But the xylitol also has benefits in the stomach and in the intestines, I mean. It produces short chain fatty acids, SCFA, short chain fatty acid, SCFA, yeah. It produces short chain fatty acids in the bowels or intestines, you know. So it's phenomenal. Like, the gut health from xylitol is known to be really good. Just so it's going to promote the growth of the good bacteria in the intestines, which means later on you're going to be healthier if you eat xylitol or chew the gum, which is what I do. I should maybe eat xylitol, because I probably need more of it in my intestines. The gum doesn't give me a lot, but the gum takes care of my oral health phenomenally, really phenomenally. No cavities, and like no new cavities. One cavity that fell out, but no new cavities in a couple of years now. And, or, you know, many visits, like multiple, you know, at least, yeah, probably 2.5 or 3 years now that I've been, but I didn't keep exact track. I guess I need to ascertain when that was that I started at some point, so I can keep track of how long it's been since I've had a cavity. But I don't think I'm ever going to get cavities ever again. That's how good it is. That it's combined, the xylitol gum that I chew after every meal, or after every sweet meal that has sugar in it, at least after that, I chew several pieces of xylitol gum all at once after a meal like that. But also, I also have xylitol in my toothpaste, my homemade toothpaste with no fluoride, just baking soda xylitol and coconut oil with the flavoring of peppermint oil. And those things are phenomenal. That toothpaste is a phenomenal thing. Ever since I started using that toothpaste, I've had no cavities, actually. No new cavities since that toothpaste. So the toothpaste might be even more so beneficial. But because I don't brush in between meals, I only brush once a day at the time I do my water pick and all the other in-between cleaning brushes and floss and everything. I do it all once a day. Because I don't brush in between meals, I chew the xylitol gum in between meals, I think if you do both of those things, if you have your own toothpaste made of xylitol, baking soda, and coconut oil, this is my belief anyway, but it works for me. But if you do that and chew the xylitol gum after any sweet meal or any meal with sugar, with fruit sugars, I don't recommend eating any processed sugar at all either. But if you do those things, you'll never have cavities. So if I'd known that, this is really, really priceless information. You can't buy this information. You can't get it by hiring somebody. But if I'd known this, and there's no way that I could have known it, but if I'd known it when I was younger, I wouldn't have any cavities in my teeth now. You know, I'd have no fillings in my teeth. I believe I would have had no fillings throughout my whole life if I'd known this. So it's really, and it's simple. I can eat anything natural that I want. There are lots of things I don't eat. But I don't eat a lot of meat. I'm not eating any meat right now, actually. Is that true? No, I do. Okay, a little bit of beef in the chili that I put in my bean dish and chili that I make. Yeah, that's true. I'm eating a bit of, there's some beef in that, and I think when I eat beef, I like to eat pineapple, because pineapple has an enzyme that helps you digest beef, so I tend to eat beef, and then I eat pineapple after, or at the same time, you know, before or after I eat beef. But I mean, I've got fish in the cupboard. I can make fish and potato fish cakes. I boil the potatoes, and then I mash it and mix it with the fish, some onion and salt, and I just fry them up, or I don't even have to fry them, I just heat them up. And they're just, I've already cooked the potato, and the fish comes cooked in a can, so I just end up with fish cakes. Those are good. So I mean, I have nothing against meat. I just don't need it. I don't need it most of the time. I eat a lot of dairy and some salad and some fresh, some fresh fruit like apples, pineapples, yogurt and fresh fruit, and matcha tea lattes without any sugar or sweetener now, just completely just cream and matcha. It's amazing. But I mean, then I chew my xylitol gum and I'm done. I take my B12. I take supplements too. I take my vitamin K2 twice a day, maybe 1,000 micrograms or 1,200 micrograms of K2 a day, something like that. But it doesn't, with K2, there's no toxic limit. Nothing known about K2 that makes it toxic in any way. So we can just, there's no limit with K2. And I need quite a lot of K2. But you know what? Oh yeah, my arthritis has been reversed. I remember telling people, and I could see it on my hands. I had a swollen joint, which you could clearly see there was an affected arthritic joint on my hand, which looked like rheumatoid arthritis was beginning. You could see the inflammation in the joint. And that has been completely reversed using K2 in my daily. My use of K2 wasn't specifically meant for that. I didn't specifically take it for the arthritis. I knew that it would reverse the arthritis from my previous experience, but I didn't really believe it would reverse this arthritis. It had progressed further than I'd ever seen it. And it's gone, completely gone. My knuckles are not inflamed in any, there's no red on any of my knuckles now, not that I can see anyway. And they're all normal, healthy, 65-year-old knuckles. I mean, and I do have, my right hand is the stiff one, which my knuckles can get stiff. Right now, they're perfectly good, like my left one, but in the morning or at night, maybe I lie on it when I'm sleeping or something, but whatever, for whatever reason, this hand can get stiff. The knuckles get stiff, and then I take K2, and that goes away, too. That's the other thing. I mean, or the stiffness only really can go away when you actually exercise. But this hand is the hand I used all my life, right? This is my right hand. That's the hand. I'm right-handed. I use that for everything. So, except there's one caveat. I never use my right hand for anything that's unimportant. I always use my left hand if it doesn't have to be skilled. I'll sacrifice my left hand, and I won't risk losing this hand. So if I can do it with my left hand, if it's not something that requires dexterity, then I can do it with my left hand. I'll always do it with this hand, if possible. If there's any risk involved that I can avoid, you know, damaging this hand, then I'll use my left hand. But I do everything with the right hand in terms of anything that requires strength, you know, and dexterity and all those things. This is my hand. Playing the piano, you know, this is the lead hand. So everything, this is the hand, right? And that's why this hand is worn out. The joints have some stiffness. Not now, like I said, it's almost... right now, I'm sure my joints are a little stiffer than when I was 14 years old. Or, you know, I mean, I'm sure. They must be a little stiffer than that. But they don't have noticeable stiffness or anything. So, I mean... And that's because, you know, in the morning, the stiffness in this hand goes away after I've flexed it a few times. But there is stiffness. It's just not arthritic. Like, but there's no pain. And the K2 takes away the pain and gets rid of the arthritis, apparently. Maybe if I took more K2, the stiffness would go away, too. That's possible. See, I'm still... I haven't raised my K2 level any higher than 1,200 a day or something like that. Or maybe... It's been higher than that. I've probably taken 1,400 micrograms a day or something like that. It's 120 micrograms per unit or per gel cap, I think. And I take a maximum of about 12. 12 is the maximum I would have ever taken in one day, I think. So that's about 1,400. 1,400 roughly. Micrograms. So there's no limit, though. Like I said, it's not a known limit. There's no known limit for K2. And this is even different from water. Don't forget, water, there's a limit. If you drink too much water, you literally die. 5 liters of water, you're dead. That's the kind of thing, that's what happens with good water. This is the best water. 5 liters, you're dead. If you drink it too fast, right? So... And that's the toxicity of water. It's toxic. But that's different from K2, because K2 has no known toxicity. No, it has zero known toxicity. None. Nada. No toxicity. Okay? Nil. Zilch. That means you can take as much K2 as you want. You won't suffer any adverse effects. Maybe. You know, you have to be... I would advise caution for anything, including K2, but there's no known toxicity, so it might be possible that you could take a lot more than I'm taking and actually experience immense health benefits by taking it that I haven't even tried yet to find out. And I have to find out. It's not very expensive either, but if I take 10 times what I'm taking now, it's going to cost me a significant amount of money per day, you know. Not per day, but I mean, over the course of time, it will cost me money. It's something like 30 cents per gel cap, I think. I'm not even sure. You buy them. Okay, you buy them. You might buy... I get them on sale all the time. I get free. I buy one container or one jar, and I get one free, a smaller one for free, all the time when I buy online. So you can buy it from places where you can get a bonus or get free vitamin K2. Find the lowest price. I think I pay, you know, is it $20 for 200? That'd be... $20 is 2,000 pennies, right? For 200? It's 10 cents each, yeah. Yeah, I think you could probably get them for 10 or between 10 and 30 cents each. Probably there's... possible to get them for that. I'm trying to think what size I buy. I probably buy more like 90s instead of 100s, so that would be, it's double. Yeah, so it's more like, yeah, I think 30 cents per gel cap is a reasonable amount of money as an estimate. But I mean, I think you can get them possibly for less, but whatever. Whatever it is, if it's 30 cents a gel cap and I take, let's say I take 120 of them per day, which I don't. Let's say 100 a day. $0.30 would be $30 a day, right? Yeah, so 100 a day would add up to 30. It would cost me $30 a day for vitamin K2 alone without considering food. If I took that much vitamin K2, maybe I wouldn't need as much food. That's one thing. But $30 a day is $900 a month. It's a lot of money, isn't it? So right now I'm only paying $3 a day. Is that right? Yeah. Right now it's costing me $3 a day roughly for vitamin K2. That's very manageable amount of money. But that's still $90 a month for just for vitamin K2. But it's worth it. It's so worth it. I mean, it's just saying it's worth it. To even consider whether it's worth it is ridiculous. It cures arthritis. How much do you want for $30 a month? I mean, you know, that's just ridiculous to consider money at all. The money is not the issue. So if it were $300 a month, as long as I could afford it, that'd be worth it if I had fantastic health, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would be worth it. With no side effects. I mean with good health as the side effect, no other side effects at all. Like, wouldn't that be worth it? And then if there were any side effects, I'd find out what they were if I took that much. But that's 100. That's like a jar per day. A jar per day, that kind of thing. Of the night, if there's 90 in a container, no, it's not. I said 10 times. 100 per day. Yeah, it is. It's 100 per day. It's like a 90 per day. One of those 90 gel caps per container every day. And they cost, you know, maybe 20 or 30 bucks. I can Google it. Let's Google it. Let's find out what they cost. Can we do that? I'll do it in a different window. It will save video space. Okay, the price. Well, I'll just go to the place I buy them from, and I'll type it in. Okay. Let's go. Naturopathic Labs, vitamin K2. There we go. I'll type that in. It'll tell me. $20 for 150 plus 60. So 210 of them for $20 right now on sale. With a bonus. The bonus of 60 for free. These are 1,000 units of vitamin D plus 120 micrograms of vitamin K2 in one gel cap. So you get vitamin D with it, because it has to. Vitamin K2 needs vitamin D with it, whether you take it separately with it or you have it with it already. You need vitamin D with it every time. So you always do. But $20 is what it costs, and that's on sale from $30. So it's $33. It's on sale at $20. So, yep, yeah, it's pretty amazing. So it's $20 for 200. So that's 10 cents. 10 cents times 10 is $10 a day. But times 30 is, wait a minute. 10 cents. $20 for 210, with 210 gel caps. 20 for 210 is 10 cents a day, isn't it? I think it is, yeah. I think it is. 10 cents a, no, I mean 10 cents a gel cap, I mean. 10 cents a gel cap times 10 would be a dollar a day. Right? That'd be $30 a month, which that's what I'm taking now. $30 a month. 10 times... No, that's not right. Yeah, that's right. 10 times 10 cents is a dollar, times 30 is $30. So it would be $300 a month. It would be $300 a month if I multiplied it by 10. So that seems like an excessive amount of money for one vitamin. That doesn't include all my other vitamins, but just that one vitamin. But that's the key vitamin. That's the one that is the key to health, vitamin K2. It's the absolute key to health. And they get it from natto beans. They derive it from natto beans. It's MK7 form. The MK7 medium length chain form of vitamin K2, which is not the same as vitamin K1, let's be clear. Vitamin K1 is the salad vitamin. Vitamin K2 is derived from dairy, which is grass-fed and grass-fed meat, and also from cheeses that use the right bacteria that in which this K2 is cultivated and grows naturally in the bacteria. It has nothing to do with the milk, but the bacteria, which is more so true of Gouda and Brie cheeses, but all cheeses to some extent, like hard cheeses have some, because of the bacteria used in making the cheese. That's why that's why cheese has vitamin K2. That's why K2 is present in the cheese. But so it's not based on the milk. If the milk had the vitamin K2 in it as well, that would be another bonus, right? And the milk can have K2 in it if the animals eat grass. So, because grass-fed dairy has K2 in it. So I got some Gouda from, we got Gouda from Holland, which is phenomenal. Well, I mean, Gouda, I think, is made in Holland, but we got a certain brand of Gouda from Holland that was the favorite, the best one we ever had, and then they stopped making it. They were making giant wheels of it, and they stopped making, they were supposedly going to make the smaller size of it, but I haven't heard, and I don't remember their name right now. I think it starts with W or something, maybe, the name of the cheese, but it's rather distinctive name. I'll recognize it when I see it again. That was our favorite Gouda. It was absolute. It kept for forever. It never went moldy. You could keep it in the fridge. It would just eventually harden and become less chewable. You know, like it would be harder to chew it. But it never actually went moldy, and it was the best quality. You never wanted to let it sit in your fridge anyway because you wanted to eat it. It was good. It was great. It's. But I can't get Gouda very easily here. I'm going to have to order it maybe online or something. I think I'll order Gouda online. That's a good idea. Because cheese will keep in the shipping usually. But that's a good idea. I'm going to order it online. Because I don't want to have to drive all the way 15 minutes to get it. Well, if I could just order it online, I think that would be better. But I mean, I'm willing to drive. I mean, I love going 3 minutes to buy my groceries. And that's what I do. I can do that. I can do one-stop grocery shopping here in town, so I don't need to go 15 minutes or half an hour to get to Ottawa. Anyway, so these cameras, the problem is, I have no problem with the idea of buying a camera. It's just, like, I think if somebody else, I was thinking this recently, if somebody else, if I said, well, if you want to donate money to help me buy a camera, and if everybody donated like even 50 cents or something, if a number of people donated 50, look, if everyone in the world donated 50 cents, that would be $3.5 billion, right? But just think about that. And if everyone donated 50 cents per month, that would be $3.5 billion a month. I mean, just think about that. See, I mean, that would be a problem with figuring out how to spend that money, right? I mean, that would be the problem. It wouldn't be a problem of not having enough money. Except with all the problems in the world, I guess there would be ways to spend the money very easily, right? But if I were to say I want a camera, can I have 50 cents a month from all of the Bethelites around the world or something? You know, that would be an example. That would mean I'd get 50 cents a month would be about $10,000 a month or something like that. A little bit more, maybe. So that would be $120,000 a year. And certainly $10,000 a month would be enough to buy a camera the first month, probably. Right, so I mean that's an idea, but even a one-time donation of $10,000, that would be enough to buy a camera probably easily. But depends how good a camera that one buys, right? If I bought, I mean, if I could spend $100,000 on a camera instead of $10,000 or $4,000 or whatever, I've seen cameras that I'm interested in. There's one, you know, some of the cinematic cameras, the C100 is something like $4,500, but that's without even a lens, really. I mean, if you want a good lens, it's more like, I don't maybe need a good lens, I just need a close-up lens, maybe. But if you consider lenses are way more expensive than the cameras, then it's looking like $10,000 just to get the accessories for the camera. So maybe with the camera you can get everything for $10,000. That's for the C100. If I bought like a Blackmagic cinematic camera, the pocket version, that's about $4,000 just for the camera without the lenses, I think, too. No, sorry. Depends if you know, the 4K one is only $2,000. For the 4K. For the 6K one it's more money. So but for the 4K it's about $2,000. Without any lens, I think, or it's pretty bare bones anyway. But you can get, and that doesn't probably include the battery even. I'm not sure, but it may not even include the battery. That's true. That's possible. I mean, not sure. And I don't know how the batteries work on those cameras or how long they last or what. I don't want to use the battery. I want to keep it plugged in, but I don't know how long the battery technology lasts when you keep it plugged in or any of that stuff. But I'm looking into these cameras. Definitely, I'm going to find out more. But you see, if I knew how much money I had to spend on a camera, if I knew that I had like $100,000 for a camera, or if I knew what the limit was, if I knew I could spend $1 million on a camera, I'd be shopping for different cameras, right? If I knew I could spend $100,000 on a camera, I'd be looking for some certain cameras, a certain class of cameras. If I knew I could spend $1 million, it's a different class of cameras, obviously. But if I knew I could spend $10,000, that's another class. But if I want it to be portable as well, which is good, right, then maybe you can't buy one that's more than a certain price for a portable camera, but maybe there are portable cameras that are hundreds of thousands as well. I don't even know because I haven't had the opportunity to look. Why would I look? I can't even bring myself to look at cameras that cost that much money because I'm afraid of it. Because it's so expensive, right? I'm afraid of being tempted and then trying to sell my soul to obtain it. I don't want to do that. So that's the reason why I can't look at the expensive ones, but they're better quality. I want low light, a capability that can produce good quality and low light, so that I don't have to blind myself, you know, when I'm making camera videos, you know, when I'm doing videos. But really, I just want. There's another reason. I want a camera that I can buy once, and I don't have to keep buying a new one, because it's good enough for the rest of my life or for the next whatever, at least for the next 10 years or 20 years. I want a camera that's going to be good enough for at least 10 years, so I don't have to buy another one. Because it costs time and money to change over to another camera, right? And to learn everything takes effort and so on. To learn the new system, I want a system that I can enjoy using, or that's easy to use mainly, and that's going to last for as long as it's. I mean, there's a limit on how long it's going to last because technology keeps moving. So probably it won't last for much longer than 10 years because it's probably going to be obsolete long before then even. But it's okay to use obsolete technology; it might still work. Anyway, that's Ward Green. It's good. We're on a little bit tighter time frame today. I think that's better. It's Ward Green. It's October 7th, 2022. 13, 14 hours. And bye for now. Have a great day. I love you.